Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the 10th of July and the country is hot and bothered out there. The bindweed is in full bloom and so should you. We have a great show for you this morning, so join in the crack in the usual way on the WhatsApp for all 32 counties. That's 0870 32 32 32. And the email is wide open for business now as well at oliver@rte.ie. Yes. Just finished a crime book last night. It is our 15th novel of the year, for anyone counting. Jill Perdue, she's written The Night I Killed Him. It's a very crime novel title, isn't it? It's partly about the relationship audiences have with people who make their careers out of their lives online, the so-called influencers. But what are they hiding, really? What's really going on to that? Going on there? The novel goes into it. And there's a lot of sailing in the story, and that's where the murder comes in. It's a Dunleary scandal in Dublin involving champion racing sailors and lots of references to the 49er skiff for the sailing people out there. And I don't know if Jill Perdue planned this, but today is in fact the start of the Dunleary annual regatta 2025. And it's a 3-day race, 20 years old this year, and what stunning weather they're getting. It's also fairly windy around that part of Dublin at the moment. And much more to talk to Jill Perdue about as well, because she is also happens to be a woman, primary school teacher, and she reached a stage in life where she said she began to feel invisible, which a lot of women will also talk about. So there's a good depth now in there. And we'll chat about the crime novel because I know people are fans of Jill Perdue and been following her work in recent years and the two female Gardaí who are at the heart of all her stories. And we're going to be talking to a man. He's an American living here in Ireland, and he's going to raffle his house, which is very worrying for the estate agents and the auctioneers and their long heritage business, where people are raffling off their houses and getting more money out of it if they can be successful with the sale of the raffle tickets. Beautiful house in County Laois, and the market value will knock you sideways when you hear it. So all of that business, 51551 is on the text. And it's also the time of year. Music festivals are all happening and sold out, and the buzz is about the place for July and August. But do you bring your children to the music festival? Would you? Is it a good idea for the people who do? Joanne Hunt is writing about this in theirishtimes.com this morning. And she says she's a friend who basically says, you know, I love my children, but never us and them at a festival at the same time. And Joanne says this makes total sense. Music festivals are loud, crowded. There's camping, mud, rain, sun, booze, broken sleep, queuing, expensive food and increasingly unspeakable toilets. Why on earth would you bring your kids? Music festivals are better when you're not responsible for someone else's fun. I presume especially when the people who need to have fun and you're responsible for are the poshty. But she says kids at musical festivals are all wrong, except at things where, at festivals that are specifically dedicated to families, like Kaleidoscope, which was staged at Rusper House in County Wicklow last weekend. It's been going for since 2019. Ireland's favourite family music festival calls itself, and it's all about, basically, it looks after the family. It looks like a music festival, it sounds like one, it certainly smells like one, but this time you're carrying nappy sacks and Calpol. And then she goes into descriptions of Glastonbury. And I kind of, it's the expectations when you're going to a festival, how you feel when suddenly you are maybe in a certain adult buzz and then you see a pram and a child and you feel bad. And maybe that kind of is the bit of the buzzkill, gets the kind of mood down. Not to mention the queuing for food, which hungry adults who need food tend to get their order done quickly. The food, but if there's a bunch of kids in front, are you sure now you want that? Can I change? Can I get chips now, mammy? No, I don't want that bit now. I don't like chicken anymore. I've decided in the last 2 seconds in my head. Oh, look, squirrels. And you're stuck behind waiting for your snack box. Not sure that's going to happen. One thing you definitely will see at festivals this summer, it's Thai Guy Summer. I've lost count. Well, it was Brat Summer, wasn't it, last year? And the year before that, there was Hot Girl Summer. I've forgotten. But this time, it is Thai Guy Summer. So Wimbledon is in full swing at the GAA season as well. You don't have to look far to see men going around in shorts, very short shorts. But whether they're influenced by Carlos Alcaraz, Harry Styles, or whoever it is, the temperatures have continued to rise and so have the hemlines of men's shorts. Apparently, Marks and Spencer, which is increasingly marketed at the younger men to try and get over the kind of older age bracket, It is going to be a Thigh Guy summer, is what they're saying. Men everywhere are embracing the rising hemlines of the Thigh Guy summer trend. It's a bold return to short shorts that's redefining masculinity, confidence and comfort. I wouldn't say comfort now, is in it, once you sit down and it's like, rise up and so on. As temperatures climb, so do the inseams. And on it goes. Fashion forward men are ditching knee length chinos and cargo shorts in favour of the 5-inch and even shorter cuts that deliver on style and personality. Well, you need to have the thighs for this. And Paul Mescal is, as you'd imagine, the poster boy for this particular story. He has the thighs. But Harry Styles is also in the image. Doesn't really have the thighs for it, but he does have the thigh tattoos. So maybe that's to do with it as well. No longer reserved for the gym and swimwear, today's short shorts are tailored, stylish and unapologetically thigh-bearing. So many people go through the airport in their gym gear. And you do kind of a double take going, is the person, because people move at a certain pace in the airport, are they just coming out of a workout? No, they're just dressed entirely like that. That's the comfort wear now. But I get the slight ick, I have to say, from the gym gear in the airport. But you don't care what I think. Lots of Irish people wear shorts to work, including, I'm told, 2FM is awash with thighs. Thighs out in 2FM for the whole summer, apparently. It's very baking hot and that the sun really does shine on that side of the radio centre and it's boiling. It's also nicer and cleaner. Mustn't grumble. Of course, in Ireland, when the weather gets a certain temperature, you get the short shorts and you're stuck to the chairs. And, oh, that's the total ick. That's what I don't understand about the airplane thing, because all of those seats are the ick and you've got your flesh pressed to... Anyway, we'll move on to something more exciting, which is the presidential election, which has finally, I think it's kind of begun now, hasn't it? You heard the breaking news that Sean Kelly, former GA president, current MEP for Fine Gael, has pulled out of the race for the nomination, which clears a very open path for Mairead McGuinness to be Fine Gael's nominee. And there's big pressure on Simon Harris to deliver an election win this year. Fine Gael's never won that campaign and Mairead McGuinness is the red hot favourite. Very high calibre, former RTE person. Will that count against her in a campaign? We don't know, because campaigns take a life on their own. Became an MEP and then was a very high profile EU commissioner and very high profile MEP during Brexit and so on. Seen as kind of a sensible, reliable, very presidential type character. So too is Catherine Connolly, they're saying on the left. Brian Stanley, who's now the Laois Independent Republican, who left Sinn Féin in the controversy last year, is throwing his weight behind Catherine Connolly. As I hear this morning, People Before Profit and the Social Democrats, who are both gunning for a joint left candidate, Sinn Féin and Labour, say, no, we need more time to consider. And Mary Lou McDonald, of course, hasn't ruled herself out. So Catherine Connolly, though, has a bit of momentum coming behind her. She's a former member of the Labour Party, but has been an independent TD since 2016. Was in Galway Corporation in 1999 as a councillor, a barrister by profession. Was also a clinical psychologist for the Western Health Board. A very interesting career. And was the first female Laois Cean Comhairle. So what's Brian Stanley saying? He's saying... If the left-leaning supporters can only be won if we've an agreed candidate, the only hope there is of electing a progress left candidate to the Oras is if all opposition parties and independents throw their own narrow interests aside to back a unitary candidate. And she is saying the best person to be the candidate is Catherine Connolly. She has the credibility, the ability for the job and the track record. She's a qualified barrister, fluent Gael Gore, former Laois Cean Comhairle, of course, excellent track record of campaigning for the rights of ordinary working people, has a progressive vision on the north of Ireland. He doesn't say it here, but she's also outspoken on Gaza as well, which I think is going to be very important in this election campaign. And she's a barrister. She attributes all the attributes to be president, essentially. And another name has shown up in the papers today, the Irish Independent, the World Health Organization. He's formerly of there. Dr. Mike Ryan says he's basically confirmed. He's been approached by someone about a potential run for the Oras. He's going to finish up his role as Deputy Director General of the WHO. This is a very heavy hitting job. He said he's immensely humbled that anyone would consider him as a candidate. But rumours have been going around that he could be a contender. We don't know who's approached him. Would this be a Fianna Fáil move? Kind of feels a bit Micheál adjacent, doesn't it? Well, not ruling out entirely a run for the Oras, he said, despite engaging in diplomacy and political negotiations, he's not a politician and is surprised anyone would consider him as a candidate. So he's going to take, he's 60 years of age, Wouldn't say who's approached him. To be very honest and transparent, I very much doubt I would put my name forward for consideration, but I will take some rest, see how I feel in a few weeks. The train might have left the station by then, but so be it. He actually got a Distinguished Service Award from President Higgins only 3 years ago for his work. He's a Sligo man, known for his no-nonsense briefings during the pandemic. With all the global press conferences he was doing. He was also very outspoken on Gaza this year when the blockade began during the ceasefire, and said that we're hurting the children and adults of Gaza. And then he's stepping down because of the US cuts, funding cuts to the World Health Organization. They've decided to leave and are taking a year to do so, the WHO, but he says he wanted to go for the last 2 years anyway. He's a former trauma surgeon, would you believe? Also married to another medic, Dr. Maura Connolly, and they have two sons. I was looking up this morning. God, I hope I'm right. It's a nervous time, isn't it, when there's candidates possibly in or out? And more presidential news. The former MEP, Mick Wallace, has not ruled himself out of a presidential bid, but said he certainly would not run if the Galway West TD, Catherine Connolly, is on the ballot. He said he was speaking to South East Radio's Morning Mix with Alan Corcoran. He said he's so far unimpressed with the mooted candidates, describing the independent TD, Catherine Connolly, as the only candidate who could fill the role like Michael D did. But he wouldn't run against her. So he says, first of all, the president in Ireland isn't a role that Mick Wallace says was incredibly significant over the years. But I would say that Michael D has changed that. He said the current president has been powerful, hasn't been afraid to tell the truth on important issues, including, he says, to call out the truth in Gaza and expose Israeli war crimes and the complicity of Western governments in that. But kind of more colourful part of the interview, he says, I've seen the name has been bandied about for the presidency and my God, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with who's threatening to go forward for the job, because in my opinion, any name I've seen so far wouldn't be a patch on Michael D. It'd be a very pale shadow, and they just wouldn't do anything for the role. That's what he's saying. But Catherine Connolly is the business. So there you go. It's taken off now, finally. Finally it's taken off. The race for the Oris. The election is in October somewhere, isn't it? It has to happen by the 11th of November. We expect it'll be a bit earlier than that, in October, so that nobody notices the budget, I think is the plan. God almighty. Okay, sport. Ah, the distraction from the politics. That's what you need. Katie Taylor, as you're hearing, is everywhere. She's going for this trilogy, the end of the trilogy. God almighty. Oh, maybe she'll retire after this one. But she is the toast of New York. A very popular bar called Legends of New York is renaming the bar the Katie Taylor Arms for the week that's in it, because it's a big fight in Madison Square Garden in the early hours of Saturday. Don't say gardens, okay, and then you get it right. It's been streamed live on Netflix, which costs about 12 to 18 euro a month now at this stage. But thousands of Irish fans are going to be there. It's the Amanda Serrano. She has already won two. It's 2-0 to Katie Taylor at the moment, but I wouldn't like to be defeated at the end, to be fair. And what you need to know, well, with the Irish fighter, the Irish Star tells us this morning, the Irish fighter, having edged out her rival of the previous two brawls, they are rumoured to be pocketing €6 million each for the fight, which will be aired on Netflix. That's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? And then retire and have a nice time, Katie. Go and just win and hopefully it'll be great and all. I'm just alive for her. So, loads of sport across the weekend as well. Kerry Tyrone is the first semi-final in the football for the men. And then you've Donegal Meath on Sunday. Nobody's giving the underdogs a hope at all. Tyrone or Meath, that is. Tyrone-Kerry match is on that's the 12th of July, by the way, on Saturday. They'll be glad to get out of Tyrone for the afternoon. It's a 5 o'clock match in Croke Park, and I think the Talent Cup final is the precursor to that, and I think the junior final will be the Sunday warm-up match, basically. But the Meath Chronicle is reporting that someone's done a county anthem for Meath. And so Richard Corbally from Kilmainham Wood, he's been working on a way to support the team. Currently chair of Kilmainham Wood Gaelic Football Club. He loves all things Meath, GAA, the Royals. And is this going to be any good now? Very worried when GAA people do matches. This is to support Meath. And he's celebrating Matt Costello, who is one of the mid-20s forwards. Meath scored a goal in the Leinster final. They didn't win the Leinster final, obviously, but they're in the All-Ireland semi-final, so they're sticking one in the eye to Louth. Okay, let's see what happens with this. M-A-T-T Costello, Jordan Morris scoring goals. Duke and Hickey on the wing. Don't joke, it's still the king. M-A-T-T Costello, Jordan Morris scoring goals. Duke and Hickey on the wing. Don't joke, it's still the king.
song.
Not hitting the high notes, but fair play to him for not writing an original air. That's the bit I was worried about. So he's gone for Chapel Roan, hot to go there. That was a good idea, Richard Corberly. Other news, and this very important news, the Irish Sun tells us Meath and Donegal are both going to wear their home kits this weekend, despite the very obvious colour clash, because they're both green and gold, or it's one gold and green. You can never tell from the, you know, because Cavan now will be blue and white, and we're white and blue in Monaghan, and Waterford's also white and blue. But I would have thought now, given the colour clashes and seeing them all jogging past each other, would you notice? Because it's kind of, you know, they're in green tops and the gold, it's just, but they're going to do it. The Meath Chronicle, Fergal Lynch, sports editor, said Meath will wear their regular green jersey on Sunday, and Donegal will wear the regular yellow shirt. And Donegal's also confirmed this. Donegal GAA account, our boys will line out in the home jerseys. So is that what's happening? Oh. Chances are I'll be watching that match in Donegal actually on Sunday, possibly, because it's, I think it's 4 p.m. Throw in. And we are heading to the Northwest next week. We'll be broadcasting live next week. I was thinking we'd be putting on waders and everything, but the weather forecast is spectacular for early next week. Hopefully it'll hold. So we'll be live from Bundoran Beach on Monday morning, and we're going to be in the seafront. We're doing a whole northwest tour, you understand. We'll be at the seafront in Strand Hill, that's County Sligach, on Tuesday morning, and then a big drive over to is it the Aras Peninsula they call that? I'll know all of that in Mayo, because we go to Blacksod Lighthouse by Wednesday morning. So if you're around, let us know. By the way, if you have any tips for us, things we should see in those areas around Bundoran and Strand Hill and Sligo and Blacksod, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, get in touch on the email oliver@rte.ie, and we'll see what we can do to call in and say hello, because we've loads of people to chat to up in that direction. I can't wait. It'll be like a class of a holiday, I hope. Loads of festivals, by the way, happening. Forest Fest is a kind of a friendly one enough, and it looks like it's for parents, for people in the 40s, because it's got things like Travis and the Dandy Warhols, would you believe? So enjoy this. Playing with Franz Ferdinand, the Manic Street Preachers, and Travis at the Forest Fest, which is in County Leash at the end of this month, and kids under 12 go free, so you'll definitely see kids at that festival. Single parent family pricing options as well, which is a very good idea. There'll be circus skills workshop for kids. Altogether now, festival in Waterford doesn't feel like a kiddie friendly one, does it? Fontaines DC, CMAT, London Grammar, but two children aged 12 and under can go free of charge if they're accompanied by a parent with a family ticket, and they have a dedicated family campsite there as well. The Electric Picnic, Chapel Roan, Fatboy Slim, Sam Fender, Hosier, dedicated family campsite there as well, and tickets for 2026 available. And the Night and Day Festival, which would be a nice kind of relaxed one, smaller festival, Lockheed Forest Park, which talked about here before last year, is happening again next year. So there's kids under 14, so all this kind of family friendly ones, which we're talking about, if you want to see kids at the, if you want to bring your children to the festival. Now I want to jump back to the kids at festivals issues. At a festival, you're there to let yourself go. As I stumble around, says this texter, often, and then see children, I'm very aware of their safety, and suddenly I'm aware of my own real life, which is total buzzkill. Leave them at home. I presume they're stumbling around because they're trying to dance and they're not very good at dancing, I'm assuming. Another one says there's also a brand new festival coming up. It is kids friendly. Bring your kids to this one. Glen Bay Summer Festival this weekend in Cundé on Cirí. Tim in Sligo is telling us to go see the Voya Sea Bath. So we're on the case, Tim, for our Northwest tour next week. The McGill Summer School is also taking place in Glenties next week. Brian Friel Centre is also nearing completion in the old courthouse up there. Worth checking out. Loads, never a shortage of things in Donegal. Beach Bar at Ockers in Sligo. Well, sure, we'll bring you all the news when we go up there to the Northwest. I won't actually be here tomorrow, but I will chat to you again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from the Northwest. Can't wait in the beautiful weather.